when you think through this last week, what a soul killer. Good Friday is certainly enough to kill him, but everybody has to go through enough to kill us, sometimes very painfully. But when you put the whole thing together, what a week to kill the soul. The looming sense that even those closest to him did not get it. They are walking into Jerusalem arguing about who was the greatest. Can you hear how brutal that would be as he trudged down that road, hearing that foolishness? And when he gets on a donkey, not a horse, a donkey. And yes, we get the critique and the irony of power implied there, but still a donkey. And as the donkey ambles toward the roar of the crowd and he begins to hear all that adoration, you don't get to be as savvy as Jesus was without figuring out where that could head. How those same voices screaming, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," within a few days could be braying. Braying. What? We know. And the supper he so carefully planned, the self-offering contained in the meal, the primal and humble liturgy of the bread and the wine passed around, and the feet washed, oh, so gently, like a mother washing her children before bed. And also primal, like a snake in the midst of a garden. The awareness at the supper of the betrayal ahead and the overhearing of the whispered questions about who is the betrayer? Who is it? And then the agonized prayers and the sleepiness, the cluelessness, the dazedness of those closest to him. And then the arrest. And then, oh God, the committees. Nameless, hostile people who do not even know what they are talking about, much less what he is talking about. So death. Sweet Jesus, save us. Death by committee. Now today the governor turns away. The humiliation and spitting and hitting and stripping and shaming and physical assault. Hands and feet nailed through veins, tendons, bone, flesh. So, no more healing touch, no more walking toward. Absolute degradation. And yet, as T.S. Eliot says, we call this Friday good. The choir will sing in a moment a 17th century anthem written oddly enough by a king of Portugal, which pleads for the wood of the cross to soften, relax the inner tensions nature has given you, and surround the sweet weight of Jesus gently and comfort him. Well, the wood of the cross, it didn't soften. Nothing did. not even God. And so he died. I listened to a TED talk the other day given by an Australian intensive care doc named Peter Saul about dying in the 21st century. He pointed out that according to some surveys, about 1 in 8 of us sort of think we are immortal. Not going to happen. We live in a death-denying culture, so that's no wonder. And all the while, for instance, during these minutes I will talk today, 100 million of your cells and 100 million of my cells will die. Right this moment, we are dying. And we are also living. It's the swirlings of living and dying which unconsciously and consciously form our days and sometimes haunt our nights. At the end, which will we be? Dead or alive? What wins? Life? Or death. The speaker's goal was to tell us that most of us will not die a sudden death like Jesus, or have a massive organ failure or a rapid terminal illness. Most of us, 6 in 10 of us, will get old and frail and dwindle. And he wanted to warn older people to stop getting unknowingly trapped in ICUs, which is where he works, because it is a miserable experience, strapped in, lots of piercings, humiliation, isolation from loved ones, surrounded by strangers who are trained to regard death as the enemy and to act with aggressive procedures designed to beat death off no matter what. Now, sometimes the gain in an ICU is huge. But sometimes continued life has little quality and makes a good death difficult. So he asks, is death always the enemy? Can there not be a good death? He asks us to consider these questions for ourselves and to talk with people we love before we need to have our answers ready. And I thought, well, Good Friday is as good a day as any to bring this up. Is death always the enemy? Was it on Good Friday? Lately, I have thought a lot about the trajectory of Jesus' life. It was so short. I am almost twice as old as he got to be. He died younger than my children are now. His public life and ministry only lasted about 3 years. So he fully became who God created him to be fast. And wouldn't you say that in being himself, he lived deep and free and full? Jesus, like a lot of people in his day when the average lifespan was under 40 years, well, he didn't have a lot of time to wait to find his true self, to find meaning, to find the sacred. He became after the crisis of the wilderness, and that is when most of us become ourselves after after a crisis, after a wilderness, after a failure, after a death of a dream or of someone we love, after a crisis, Jesus becomes fully, wholly himself. And being himself, fully, wholly, he is contagious, so that others around him find their true selves too, which is what we all yearn for. He did that so young. And what I want to say, in an age when spiritual adolescence can stretch forever, even though most of us live a lot longer than Jesus, maybe we don't have time to wait around either to become our deepest selves, to make meaning, to touch, to find, to claim the sacred. Maybe in our frenetic day, we can't afford to wait another moment to breathe deep, to get free, to be full. For whether we are 10 or 30 or 60 or 80, today is the only day we've got, the only day of life we get to breathe deep, to get free, to be full, fully who God created us to be. His death, like his life, was purposeful. For some months in the prime of his life, he headed freely toward the possibility, I would argue, not the inevitability, but the possibility of death. His face set for Jerusalem. I believe every step he took, even late last night, even today, stumbling with his cross toward Golgotha, had hope in love. Every step. Not hope that this suffering would pass, that this cup would pass, but hope that it would have the breath of the love of God in it. Jesus breathed deep, got free, became his true whole self early. And all of his life, he invited others of all ages to go deep early, to get free too, to touch our souls. He really trusted people to do that a lot sooner and a lot faster than our culture seduces us to think is possible. Jesus got it. The old soul in every one of us is available now, if we but reach in. For the old soul deep in every one of us is the deep breath of the love of God. He breathed deep until he didn't. And that's just where we are today. We are always living and we are always dying. Today is a good day to admit that. Breathe deep. Get free. Mystery beyond all human understanding. Good Friday is a miracle of a good death.